Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Today, our Wisconsin Energy Institute conversation is all about renewable chemicals, and a couple of guests for you. One of them is Kevin Barnett. He's the Business Director and Chief Technology Officer at Pyran Incorporated, received his PhD in chemical engineering at UW-Madison in 2018, and has gotten a lot of recognition as well, and as one of 12 young rising stars highlighted in Chemical and Engineering News in their 2020 Talented 12 issue. Kevin, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
George Huber is our other guest. He's a returning guest on the show. He's the Richard Antoine Professor of Chemical and Biological Engineering at UW-Madison, co-founder of Pyran in 2018. George, welcome back.
Hi, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, it's great to have you with us as well. The two have they've discovered a way to make a key paint ingredient out of plants. It's usually made from fossil-based chemicals, and I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments as we move along today. What do you want to know about bioenergy and the bioeconomy, perhaps? What questions do you have about byproduct businesses? Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Kevin, let's start with you. Maybe talk a bit first about why you chose to get into chemical engineering.
Yeah, of course. Actually, I got into chemical engineering because I was pretty passionate about environmental issues from a young age. What I didn't realize is after joining, the vast majority of chemical engineering is petrochemical. but I still enjoyed it, and I kind of came full circle when I came up here to Wisconsin and joined George Huber's research group in renewables.
So why are bioproducts and sustainability so important? I guess maybe your interest in the environment.
Yeah, it's important because, you know, the vast majority of all our materials we use in our everyday lives today are fossil-based. People don't realize it, but, you know, when you talk about coatings, you know, the coatings in all your appliances, refrigerators, dishwashers, your leather seats in your car, fingernail polish, magazine covers, I can go on, but they're all made from fossil-based materials. So, you know, replacing all those things with materials that come from renewable resources can have a great climate impact.
And George, what makes something a renewable chemical?
Yeah, it's that you can grow it and you can remake it in a sustainable way rather than extracting it from oil. Most of our chemicals today are made from oil, but we can really make, in the laboratory, we can make all the same chemicals from biomass and renewable resources. And the exciting thing about Pyran's technology is it's economical as well. So it's environmental and it's also economical. So we're super excited about the efforts to commercialize it so far.
Yeah, the economical part of it is great. Kevin, I mentioned you graduated in 2018. And from what I understand, Pyran came out of some of the work you were doing then. Talk about your experience with getting kind of going from a student to a business owner so quickly, actually.
maybe quickly in your mind, it seemed like a long time to me, but it was a process, but it was enjoyable. There was so much support from the University of Wisconsin system that they're really helping student entrepreneurs with lots of programming, like WARF, for instance, as an accelerator program. G-Beta is an accelerator program in Madison that helped a lot. So, yes, it was a lot of learning switching from science to business, but a lot of, you know, perseverance, willingness to learn, and then all the resources around town were really helpful.
It sounds great. George, what's been your role in Pyran, starting with those early days, maybe before it was a company?
Well, I've just been an advisor to Kevin and kind of watch him take the lead. It's really amazing. You know, I kind of, when he first came up with this idea to make 1,5-pentanediol, you know, I knew that there was a very solid business case to it. I asked if he was interested in entrepreneurship, and he said yes. I told him he was probably crazy, probably a lot safer to go work for, you know, a large, more established company than try and start your own business. But he was excited about it. We went through several programs, raised the funding to get the money together, and he's really taken over the ownership of putting together the business piece of Piran, hiring several people. I think all the employees at Piran, except our new CEO, are graduates from our department at University of Wisconsin. So,
that is very, very cool. How many folks are working for the company?
We're up to a grand total of 7. Sounds small, but we're young, scrappy, and we work pretty hard.
Well, you're focused on producing a plant-based alternative, Kevin, to one chemical specifically that George, I think, may have mentioned. It's something that's found in paints and coatings. So use it on things like walls, maybe cars or appliances. Tell us a little more about this chemical and what it does.
Yeah, the chemical is called 1,5-pentanediol, and I won't give a organic chemistry lesson here, but just think of it as a key building block. Like if you picture your paints on your wall as Legos, there's 2 or 3 main Legos chemical building blocks that comprise that paint. So if you picture putting your paint on the wall, the solvent will evaporate, and what's left is called the resin. It's the main polymer. It sticks on your wall, so it provides the color and the texture. Our product is in that paint, so we would have a green building block that comprises the main component of the paint or coating. So it actually replaces a significant fraction of the fossil-based paints and coatings.
So it essentially serves the same purpose as the fossil-based.
That's right. It's a direct replacement.
And in some places, Larry, it can even be better than the fossil-based molecules.
In what sense?
It has some improved, for what we call performance advantage properties. So there's some properties. The molecule that we produce, it's very difficult to make from oil. You can't really make it from oil economically. Piran's, you make it from oil, but it's through a very complicated process, and no one can really make it on purpose. Piran is the only one that can make it, this molecule, on purpose. And so we're replacing other molecules that are found in oil, and ours just has some performance advantages.
That is very, very cool. Kevin Barnett and George Huber, our guests today, talking with them about their company, Piran, and the work that they're doing. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. Email address is ideas@wpr.org. Ivy called, couldn't stay on the line. She wanted to know if you have heard of using mycorrhizal fungi to create building materials.
No, I have not. George, maybe you have. I will say one thing about our process is it doesn't use biological processing like fungi or microbes. You may think of ethanol. You're using a microbe to convert the corn to ethanol. We use traditional chemical processing, so heat and catalysts. So that's one differentiator in our technology.
So yeah, George, you want to add to that? I was going to.
Yeah, you know, the big advantage, another big advantage of our product is the really low greenhouse gas emissions. So normally, if you look at the product that we're replacing, there's about 22.6 kilograms of CO2 emitted per kilogram of product you use. With the pyrandiol, it's 1 kilogram of CO2 per kilogram. So it's a 95% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow. And so, but you're taking what materials are you taking to make this material?
So the raw material, it's called, the feedstock for Piran, it's a molecule called furfural that's made from corn cobs. It's really found in all types of biomass, but corn cobs is a major one. It can also be found when you make pulp. in the pulp mill, you can convert some of your waste streams into furfural as well.
So I'm having an amazing, well, of course, I'm not a chemical engineer, but I'm having a hard time thinking of how did you come up with the idea of corn cobs as the primary substance to create this.
Well, there was kind of there's already an established market to make furfural from corn cobs. And so there's already 200 kilotons per year of capacity where people make furfural and they use it. No one has converted furfural into the molecule we make, the 1,5-pentane diol. So that's where Pyran's core intellectual property and technology is, and that's what Kevin really invented during his PhD, was how to take furfural and make 1,5-pentane diol. And we're going to skip organic chemistry today, but it goes through a key intermediate called Pyran, and that's the name of the company.
There we go. Well, let's take a call. Diana in Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm going to be moving to Asheville, North Carolina, and buying a house that will need some painting, and wondering if I will, where I could purchase the paints that are being produced by the company.
Ah, well, what about that, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, we're still in development, so hopefully you will see our paints on the shelves at your big box store in a couple years. But, you know, we're still scaling to commercial capacity. We're going to be making several tons of product in the beginning of next year, mainly for developmental purposes, though. So it won't be quite at Home Depot yet, but keep an eye out.
Yeah. I would think on the marketing side for other folks who are environmentally conscious, this would kind of be a selling point, wouldn't it, George?
Yeah, it's a huge selling point. You know, people are concerned about greenhouse gas emissions, and people want new products that are sustainable, produced from local resources, you know, and ones that are green. And I think consumers are wanting this more and more, and Pyran has a solution that's possible. It's economical. It just takes time to get it to the market and develop it. And, you know, I think that's what Kevin is working on. He has a great business plan and, you know, very exciting developments they're making at the end of the year with actually scaling up the technology to make ton quantities of a product. So,
Kevin Barnett, Business Director and Chief Technology Officer at Pyran Incorporated. George Huber is the Richard Antoine Professor of Chemical and Biological Engineering at UW-Madison, co-founder of Pyran with Kevin. Join in with your questions or comments. Number to call 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Natalie Guyette, our producer today, our engineer is Christina Myshock. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, our guest from the Wisconsin Energy Institute and from Pyran, startup company working on renewable chemicals. Kevin Barnett and George Huber are our guests. And you can join in with your questions. Give a call at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Let's take another call. Chuck in Wisconsin Dells, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you. I was wondering, when I use a latex paint, you know, indoors, I notice a smell of ammonia. I wonder if that's the thinner they used, or how does that work? I guess I'm not a chemical guy, so I really don't know. I can take my answer off the air if you like.
All right, Chuck, thank you so much. Well, let's see. George, you want to take that?
I don't know how much. That's a great question, Chuck. You know, the latex, the paints, there's all this formulation that goes into the paints. I've never heard of them having ammonia as one of the things they add in the formulator, and Pyran is not a formulator. We make a raw material that goes into a formulation. There's when you look at a paint, there's probably 10 to 30 different types of chemicals that the formulators or the blenders will all kind of mix together, 1,5-pentanediol being one of them that we have added. But I haven't heard about ammonia being one of the components that's in the latex paints. I don't know, Kevin, do you have any comments on that?
Kevin?
Yeah, there's a big movement in the paints industry to remove what are called volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. That's kind of a separate issue from what we're doing, which is making the paint renewable or bio-based, but they're both important as far as the environmental impact of paints.
Yeah, George say 10 to 30 different chemicals that might be added. I could see where even if no ammonia was added, mixing a bunch of chemicals together might give you a smell that's somewhat ammonia.
Sure. Yep.
Like. Chuck, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Well, let's see. Pete in Eau Claire, we'll go to you now. Hi, Pete. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. Hey, a couple questions. One, I tuned in a little bit late. How do you spell the company's name? And then also, are you traded on the stock exchange, or will you be, and what's your symbol? And if not, in the meantime, can a person invest into your company?
All right. Well, Kevin?
Yeah, sure. The company name is spelled Pyran, Pyran. We are not listed anywhere. We're privately owned. We do, as a private company, accept investments, angel investments and institutional funds like venture capital. That's our main funding source.
And how would, say, Pete or anybody else, for that matter, look more deeply into that investment side of it?
Yeah, our website, pyranco.com, pyranco.com. There's a contact form there. If you fill out your name there, I'll get an email and I'll call you. I'll reach out and we can talk.
All right. It sounds good. Pete, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate
you.
It. Yeah, you can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Eve in Deerfield emailed to ask, how will this interact to other paint types? Historically, oil-based and latex-based paints didn't play well together. Will this be similar?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Sure. Our product isn't really impacting the formulation of the paint. It's really substituting in, as I said, directly for the main core body of the paint. So, as far as how they interact, really that's up to the big paints companies like, PPG, Sherwin-Williams. That's their expertise. They'll take our product, they'll substitute it as a green replacement, they'll advertise it as a plant-based paint. But as far as the actual performance of the paint, there's a lot of different things you can do with our product.
Is there, Kevin, is there demand for this chemical you've created? Are manufacturers willing to use it in their products right now?
Absolutely. We've gotten interest from, the largest paints companies in the U.S. They've tested the product. The performance looks great. Internationally, Europe, Asia, some of the biggest paints and coatings companies are interested. So now it's just a matter of scaling, making the tons of product this year and giving it to those customers, and then eventually you'll be seeing them in your stores.
And probably what a lot of the people don't understand is there's similar chemicals in some of your latex and water-based paints and some of your coatings. Some of them have very similar chemicals, and there's different things you'll add, but there's also some similarity. So one thing you always add is polyester polyols, and that's one of the chemicals that we use to make the 1,5-pentanediol can be connected to polyester polyol, and then you can use it to make different paints and coatings. So,
how much research is going on right now in Georgia in relation to non-renewable? Renewable chemicals. Give us an idea of how big of a field this is right now.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of interest. I'd say there's hundreds of millions of dollars being spent with different companies trying to figure out how you can make different plastics that are from renewable resources, how you can replace everything from petroleum. In December, I spoke at the Shell Science Advisory Board, where they were the question was, how can they switch to biomass-based chemicals, and what are some of the strategies that they should be pursuing? So there's a tremendous amount of interest. Almost every company has made some statement saying they're going to do this. Now, not all the companies are willing to put money into doing this. One example is Lego. Lego, they make ABS polymers. They're trying to replace it with biomass-based polymers. And it's challenging to come up with a business model where it's going to be economical, and that's what Pyrant has, is we have a market and we have a business model where it's going to be economical. And then it's the companies, they all want to buy your product, but they sometimes don't want to wait to buy your product until you're producing it at scale and commercial, which Pyrant is not at that scale quite yet.
Yeah. Gary in Chippewa Falls, let's go to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. I just have a question. I talked about using the corn cobs as a media for his product. I was wondering how he plans on getting enough corn, being since it's all combine now and you don't usually have cob corn on the market. What is his idea for that?
Yeah, good point. Kevin, do you want to take that?
Sure, and we'd actually love to hear more from you. We're interested in hearing from experts that are closer to the biomass feedstock, the corn cob, for your insights as well on how to best collect the corn cobs for scale. Right now, as George mentioned, our feedstock is made on a global scale. It's mostly in other countries. It used to be made in the United States, but it's been outsourced, and this is the FERFRA I'm talking about. But, you know, we know it used to be done here, and we know there's plenty of corn materials here. It's just a matter of if we can bring it back to domestic production. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah.
But different companies, they have different agricultural products. And our first goal for Pyrant is to purchase furfural that's made from the corn cobs on the open market, convert that to 1,5-pentanediol. And there's already existing plants that take the corn cob and make the furfural. So that's not a risk for Pyrant. In the future, we hope to continue to expand. As we build our business, expand, we'll backward integrate, where we'll look at where would we get the corn cobs from, or it could also come from pulp and paper mills as well. It's from the hemicellulose portion of the biomass, which is in almost every single portion of biomass. It's there, just usually people don't bother extracting it because there's no.
Yeah, I see. So paper mills could supply this as well.
Yeah, they're there. It would be just like the same question we got about corn cobs. You have to make changes to the paper mills, but there's one paper mill we're working with in Europe that would be willing to do that and is evaluating how they would make our chemicals in their paper mill.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Gary, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. We've talked quite a bit about paint, but you did mention some other products, but let's talk about the array of products that might be involved here.
Yeah,
Kevin, do you go ahead? Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Larry. Yeah, so 1,5-pentanediol, you know, as a startup company, you have to be focused, and that is a high margin market that we think we could get revenue from fairly quickly. But as you mentioned, you know, there's a great opportunity to make a suite of different products in this space that aren't just tied to paints and coatings. So talking about things like nylons, like your clothing, spandex, you know, plastics, elastomers like your shoe soles, other types of coatings like fingernail polish, dentist fillings. You know, there's just a huge wide range of products that we can make directly from our process that expand on the first product in paints and coatings.
And Larry, one of the high risk applications we're trying with 1,5-pentanediol, and this is more at the university, but it's to be able to make plastics, which could replace polyethylene but are biodegradable. And we think 1,5-pentanediol could be a key intermediate to make these plastics and really be a technology innovator. So we, with Pyran, we have a U.S. Department of Energy grant where we're exploring this option of using 1,5-pentanediol to make plastics that will have similar properties, mechanical and thermal properties as polyethylene, but then they'll biodegrade when they get into the environment. So,
wow. And I don't know that we actually mentioned this. You've, as you were talking about there, George, I know, Kevin, you've raised a significant amount of funds from investments and grants to support Pyran. Something like $4 million?
Yeah, that's right. We've, you know, been pretty successful with our fundraising so far. Mixture of grants. So there's, you know, these Small Business Innovative Research or SBIR grants. It's a great federal program. Each department, like the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation, have these grants for startup companies. And it's really just a great program that helped us get started. But then as we went along, of course, we had the support from WARF, the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation. And then recently we got a large investment round with a mixture of venture capital and angel investors. About 70% of it was Wisconsin-based investors.
So there's some there's still opportunity, though, as our earlier caller was asking about the possibility for investing. And Pyran Co. is the website, right? Pyran Co.?
That's correct. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, let's I'm trying to get my mind around the amount of materials and the magnitude of this. Let's say, you know, things move along as you're progressing. What are you looking at in terms of product output?
Yeah, you know, our first commercial plant of pentanediol is projected to be about 20,000 tons per year, which it's small to medium size if you're looking at chemical industry, but still world scale. But as you look at our second plant for pentanediol and then all these downstream products, you're looking at significant volumes, replacing a fairly significant fraction of the petroleum-based paint and coatings industry.
And the downstream, I don't know, not side companies, but all sort of breakaways from the main. What will those be working on? The things like nylons.
That's exactly right.
Wow, Frank from Fort Atkinson just wanted to mention about paint. We were talking about paint odors and so forth that. If you're working in body shop paint, for example, you have to wear a chemical respirator. George, I imagine that hopefully is going to be reduced a little bit once your company gets going.
Yeah, there's one you know, chemical that. There's another market we haven't really talked about. It's for what's called UV cure coatings. These are, if you've seen fingernail polish, where you put on the fingernail polish and you shine a UV light on them. They also use it very commonly to make shirts for UV cure coatings. Now, a problem with them is you have all these acrylates there, and there's environmental problems with that, so you have to worry about all those the environmental problems for health. And some of our chemicals that we're producing for this UV acrylate business, we think have reduced environmental impact so far, and you know, there's some advantages there from a human health perspective as well.
What else would people would you like people to know about renewable chemicals? Let's talk about this even a little, perhaps more broadly, George.
You know, I think people, you know, should be asking, you know, the brand owners, and there's a whole complicated supply chain here you're dealing with. You know, there's the raw chemical producers, and there's the formulators, there's the brand owners, and then there's the, you know, find the supermarkets or the stores that put it online. So there's a whole complicated supply chain. But I think people should be asking the brand owners to make more renewable products and get more biomass-based content in their products. One of the leaders in this area was kind of Coca-Cola with the Dancy water bottle, which is 30% renewable content. We could go up to 100% renewable content if consumers want to pay a few cents extra for every Coca-Cola bottle. But usually consumers don't like to pay anything for their green premium. But I think over time that's going to change. And, when you're competing against an established industry, it's always very challenging to compete with that because you're dealing with size and you're dealing with volume. With One Fight with Pyrin, we have a little niche molecule that fits into a niche. We know what it can be used for, and so we're building our business that way before we tackle some of the larger markets.
So if you've got, let's say, one of the big paint companies, for example, if they can use your material for the same cost or maybe even less down the road and be able to brand it or market their paint as being more environmentally stable, if I'm looking at two cans of paint that are basically about the same, but one of them is more environmentally safe, I'm going to buy that paint.
I think everybody would.
That's why I think this is a win-win. We're not asking people to pay a premium for our green products. It's actually lower cost than they can make it from petroleum today.
Well, so what's the plan down the road here now? Give us Kevin, how your plan will be proceeding down the road.
Yeah, I mean, we're excited with what we've done so far. We have a lab space at University Research Park here in Madison. We're hiring a lot of people, as George mentioned, from the university, and we want to continue that. We want to keep the Wisconsin presence, keep hiring out of the university here and otherwise. And, as George mentioned, this first plant will get some revenue. But after that, we'd be interested in backward integrating to the corn cob or paper mill feedstock. And we know there's lots of those here. So hopefully one day we can have a big facility. And, of course, that would also be located in, rural Wisconsin. So, helping the rural economy can be a great thing that Pyrin can do.
Yeah, that's great. And just to wind up again, somebody's asked what's the website again?
It's pyranco.com, pyranco.com. And yeah, there's a contact form. I'd be happy to talk to anyone that's interested.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with both of you. I want to thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll have to have you back down the road and see how things are progressing. Thanks so much for being with us, Kevin and George.
Hey, thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks for listening, Kevin, everyone.
Kevin Barnett is the Business Director and Chief Technology Officer of Pyrin. Actually got his PhD in chemical engineering at UW in 2018. George Huber is the Richard Antoine Professor of Chemical and Biological Engineering at UW-Madison. He was a co-founder of Pyrin, P-Y-R-A-N. I keep wanting to kind of mispronounce that. Sorry. Pyrin in 2018. It was fun talking with them, and might be a place to do a little angel investing. Who knows? Well, I know some people who know a lot about the weather. Our weather guys are back with us, and they'll be up next to talk about heat and humidity. We're getting a little of that here in the state of Wisconsin right now. I'm Larry Mealer. You're listening to the Ideas Network.